Welcome to Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. Lawmakers will return to Montpelier next Wednesday for a special veto session. They'll consider Governor Phil Scott's veto of the budget bill and legislation establishing the statewide property tax rate for next year. Scott wants lawmakers to support a statewide teachers' health care contract. He argues this step will save $26 million a year, money that he wants to use to reduce property taxes. But Democratic leaders oppose this plan because they say it undermines the local collective bargaining process that's been in place for many, many years. Will they find a compromise? The governor says he's optimistic that a solution will be found.
I feel as though we all want the same thing. I look for areas where we can agree, and I think the goals are some that we can agree upon. And I believe, again, this was a good, a positive step forward in the first meeting, and I think that everyone wants to get this resolved before the veto session.
This issue has become a very partisan issue. Republicans have accused the Democrats of taking a position that will result in a property tax increase. The Democrats say the governor is practicing, quote, D.C.-style politics, and the progressives wonder why their property tax reform plan has never received any attention. Today on Vermont Edition, we're going to look at why this has become the defining issue of the 2017 session. Our panel in our first segment includes Fasil Gill, who is the chairman of the Democratic Party, and Senate Minority Leader Dustin DeGrie. Welcome to Vermont Edition. It's great to have you here.
Thank you very much, Bob. Great to be here.
Thanks, Bob.
We'll also hear from the interim chairman of the Progressive Party, Anthony Polina, a little later in the broadcast. Mr. Gill, let me read from one of your recent press releases where you were very critical of Governor Scott on this issue. You wrote, quote, "In Vermont, you don't shut the government down when you don't get your way. That's exactly what national Republicans do in D.C. The governor's veto embraces D.C.-style politics that have no place in Vermont," end quote. Now, the governor did veto the budget over the teacher health care issue, but he's also made it very, very clear that he won't hold the budget hostage and he'll sign a budget bill to ensure that the operations of state government continue when the new fiscal year begins on July 1st. So isn't your premise that we're facing a government shutdown basically wrong?
Absolutely not. I mean, we are days away from a government shutdown. We have no budget. The one thing that we have to do in Vermont that the legislature has to do is pass a budget. If the governor is saying that he is not going to shut the government down, then why did he veto the budget? That makes absolutely no sense.
Well, he says he vetoed the budget because he was concerned that lawmakers didn't address the issue of health care savings for teachers' contracts. And by vetoing the budget, he could highlight that issue. But he's also made it very clear he's going to let the budget become law because he doesn't want a government shutdown.
So that there is the exact definition of holding the budget hostage. There's another policy issue that the governor wants. He didn't get his way on that policy issue. So the best way to kind of that he feels to highlight it is to hold the budget hostage, bring us to the brink of government shutdown, and then, so he states, not shut the government down. Again, that makes absolutely no sense. We don't know what's going to happen in the negotiations. You know, the couple of things that we do know is, one, the governor is not at the negotiations table. I mean, last night he was out at Thunder Road racing a car and, you know, not at the table. So I don't know what's going to happen. If that's the governor's position, that he is not going to shut the government down, then I have no idea why he would not pass the budget, why he wouldn't sign the budget, why veto the budget.
Well, I think he would say that he wanted to highlight the issue of the teachers' health care contract savings, and this was the way to do it.
Right. Basically holding the budget hostage. That's exactly what happens in D.C. They're not getting their way on one other policy issue. So the way they, quote, highlight the issue is to bring the government to the brink of shutdown.
Senator DeGrie, how do you respond to this charge that the governor is basically playing politics with this issue?
Well, I think Mr. Gill needs a bit of a civics lesson, to be honest with you. The legislature is the only part of the only part of state government that has the ability to come up with and pass an appropriations bill. So in order for the government to shut down, the legislature would basically have to say, you know what, we're not going to give you anything else, Governor, and he would need something to sign. So in order for the government to shut down, the legislature would have to not do its job. That's how this process starts. I don't think Phil Scott's playing politics with this. I think when you build a budget that I think most people agreed was a pretty decent budget, but you fail to capture the $26 million in possible savings that we can get from VHI, I think that you're leaving money on the table that could be used to buy down property taxes, that could be used to better fund higher education, that could be used to better fund early education. And I think it's irresponsible to do that. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that Vermonters need to take advantage of, and the legislature needs to take advantage of, and the governor is holding the line to make sure that we get some form of savings from this transition to new health care savings. To say it's D.C.-style politics, anytime somebody says D.C.-style politics to me, I would check the press release, because that's typically the person who's using the D.C. tactics and this hyperbole and this constant, this constant drumbeat is, I think it's laughable. I think if you talk to everyday Vermonters out there, they're very happy with what the governor's doing. The folks that I represent up here in Franklin County are very happy that the governor's holding the line, because quite honestly, this is why he was elected, for somebody to get a handle on the state government and the state budget, and for somebody to tell the Democratic supermajority that enough is enough, and we need to be more responsible.
Senator DeGree, if this was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity and this was such an important thing for the governor to get implemented this year, the complaint is that he waited so long in the session. Now, he waited until after some of your Senate committees had basically shut down for the session. So if this was so important, why was it introduced so late?
Well, I don't buy that premise either, Bob, either. If you go back and read the governor's budget address, he talks about the 80-20 match and a way to save money through teachers' health care savings. We had the VHI in Senate Finance as early as January to talk about this process and how savings could be made from this process. So I don't necessarily think that the governor waited until the last minute. This is something that had been in conversation and ongoing from the time the governor presented his initial budget. I think what happened was the Democratic, those in charge in the Democratic leadership in the legislature, they just didn't pick up the ball and run with it. So by the time the governor's proposal, or whether it's the amendment that I put forward or the amendment that Representative Beck put forward, by the time that happened, it was a little late in the game. But let's be honest, anybody that's been in the legislature or has been around that building knows that things happen late. Some of the biggest things that have happened in the legislature, you go back and look at the early 90s next, or the mid-90s Max 60, that came out late, and the legislature stayed until the middle of June. So to say that we didn't have time, to say that they were trying to run out the clock, I just don't buy that. If it's a good idea, it deserves the right to be heard. And quite honestly, this idea wasn't heard. The administration sat in Senate Finance for a full week, and it wasn't taken up. The chair refused to take it up.
In all fairness, though, when the governor mentioned this in his budget address, the words statewide teachers contract were never mentioned in the budget address. That phrase, that concept didn't emerge until much, much later in the session.
Well, that's fine. But the whole concept of, and the whole understanding that this VHI transition was happening was a known commodity out there. And everybody knew that there were savings to be had there. And nobody came to the table with an idea until the governor did in April or May. So, I don't really think it matters when it came out. I think that saying it came out late is really a great excuse if you don't want to do something. But if you look at any of the bills that have passed, late in the game, you look at the way that marijuana was pushed through the Senate, that bill probably should have stopped in about 11 different committees, and it came out as a floor amendment. So if the majority wants, the majority will. But this is something that they weren't interested in. They were more interested in protecting their union interests, and they came to the table with saying that this was too late, and that was the excuse they used. And that's fine. fine if that's, if that's the, their prerogative. But at the end of the day, Vermonters didn't think it was too late. Folks wanted us to get to the table and hammer something out, and hopefully that's what happens.
I'd like to ask both of you, starting with Mr. Gill, what is it about this issue that it has become so contentious, so highly partisan? Why is that happening with this issue? Mr. Gill?
Well, again, the question is, what's the issue that we're talking about? What Senator DeGree just stated, I mean, there's so many inaccuracies, I don't even know where to begin. But let's assume for a second that what Senator DeGree is saying about the proposal is a good proposal. The fact of the matter is that's not in the budget. Senator DeGree himself voted for the budget. So everything that Senator DeGree stated that, why Governor Scott was elected to hold the line on the budget and to keep taxes low, the budget passed with one vote against it. And again, unanimously in the Senate. So now all the senators, Senator DeGree is now going to have to say, when he votes against the budget, I was for it before I was against it. It makes absolutely no sense. The bottom line right now is the only issue that we're talking about is the budget. Take, for example, I grant you, if that is a good thing, the $26 million. Now, first of all, what amazes me is how can you know that you have a $26 million saving before you even begun negotiations? But again, that's a separate issue. Let's put that issue aside. Right now, the only issue is that is not in the budget. The budget passed with just one vote against it. We should pass the budget. The governor should not have vetoed the budget. The governor is on record. Senator DeGree is on record. The entire Republican, except for one person, is on record as saying this is a good budget. If it's a good budget, why veto it? That's the only issue that we have here right now.
Well, I guess I'm wondering, the whole issue of a statewide teachers' health care contract seems to have gotten a lot of people really riled up, Mr. Gill. And so what I'm trying to figure out is, why has that happened?
There are a lot of issues. Every time you're changing 50 years of how things have been done in Vermont, you're going to have certain concerns about it. The Legislative Council himself, when he came out, when they put out their memo, they had a tremendous amount of concerns about that thing. Collective bargaining is basically you bargain with your employer. That's the number one issue. That's the tenet of collective bargaining. You're bargaining with your employer. You're changing it to where you're bargaining with the state. They're not the employer. Who do you bargain with first? But again, that issue deserves time. That issue deserves to be fully vetted through various committees. To do it at the last minute, which is exactly what the governor did, and despite what Senator DeGree wants to have revisionist history, it was done at the last minute, makes absolutely no sense. This thing needs to be vetted. But again, that's not even the issue right now. I mean, that issue is, put aside. The issue right now is you've got to pass the budget.
Senator DeGree, why do you think this has become such a highly partisan issue?
Well, I don't. I don't think it's a partisan issue. If you look at the vote in the House, there were nearly 20 Democratic representatives that voted for the Beck proposal. It's not a partisan issue. It's a common sense issue. And again, going back to Mr. Gill needing a little bit of a civics lesson, the way a bill works is it goes through many, many, many iterations. The budget that passed the Senate is not the budget that came out of the conference committee. So to say that I voted for a budget and then voted against it, I voted for the budget that passed out of Senate appropriations. The budget that came back from the conference committee was vastly different, and it did not include $26 million in savings that could be used to fund a variety of projects that Democrats and Republicans all agree need to be used. So I don't think it's a partisan issue. I think if you can go and talk to any of the independents or Democrats that voted for this proposal that in the 75, 74, or 76, 75 vote, it's not partisan. There were Republicans, there were Democrats in the Senate that voted for my amendment. I think the partisanship is really coming down to the fact that the teachers union is a very, very strong voice in Vermont, and it's a very strong voice in the Democratic establishment, and this is something that they're against. The school boards are in favor of it. The superintendents are in favor of it. Vermonters are in favor of it. You go and you talk to people, and you get outside of the bubble, and you talk to the folks that you represent. The reality is that we can provide the same amount of health care for less.
Let's go to our callers and talk to John in Stratford. Hey, John, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much, Bob. I think there may be a way out of this. And I think It's a compromise, but it's to go to collective bargaining for statewide teachers' health benefits, something a Democrat, Ralph Wright, Speaker of the House, first proposed years ago, a teacher and a union activist himself, because it was fair and had cost containment. But you take whatever savings and you put it directly into the severely underfunded teachers' retirement fund. This teacher's retirement fund is an obligation that that we have to fulfill to keep our credit rating up and to also make good our commitments to those teachers. But it's severely underfunded. We could take those savings and put them directly into that. It wouldn't be dependent on how much they were. Just whatever savings there would go directly into making that solvent. The teachers would benefit. Vermont would benefit from having this obligation be more fully met. And I think everybody would win.
And, John, under your compromise, would you still have these benefits negotiated at the local level?
No. Part of the compromise is going to, as Ralph Wright suggested years ago, go to the statewide. I mean, it makes every teacher deserves the same health benefits no matter where they live in the state.
Well, John, Ralph Wright wanted to take it a step further and have a statewide teacher's contract for salaries.
I think what we do at I think, you know, this is why this is such a modest step to just go with the teacher's health benefits is like a minuscule compromise for the teachers' union. And it makes so much sense because all the teachers anywhere in the state deserve the same health benefits. If we can save the money and then put the money that's saved directly into meeting, you know, this unfunded obligation that we have, it's a win-win thing. And I think it's the basis for coming to some compromise.
All right, John, thanks very much for your phone call. Mr. Gill, what about this idea that all teachers in the state should have the same health care package?
Look, there's many ideas out there that make sense. One idea that right now to me, which is the tenet of it all, is collective bargaining needs to take place between the employers and their employees. That's how it works. Local control has always been the case in Vermont. It surprises me and frankly makes me wonder what other issues are at play here, that the Republican Party is basically saying that Montpelier knows better than the local school boards. I mean, that, you know, back in the day when I used to be a Republican, I mean, it was always drilled in us that, you know, local is better and Washington doesn't know better, Montpelier doesn't know better. But here we have the Republican Party saying that Montpelier knows better. In as far as the teachers' contracts go, Senator DeGree, I'm sure, knows 4 out of the 5 supervisor unions in his own district have reached an agreement with their teachers, and they've got the 80-20 savings that they're talking about. So the system is working. To upend the system at the last minute, there are significant issues with it, and you don't have to take my word or the Democratic Party's word on it. Legislative Council themselves put out a huge memo which had significant legal and other issues with the governor's proposal. And, you know, one last point to Senator DeGree. What he said, he, you know, voted for the budget. It was very different. When he voted for the budget, that didn't have the $26 million in it, yet he still voted for it. So these issues and these compromises need to be fully vetted. And that was our issue with the governor's proposal in the beginning.
Senator DeGree, how do you have a statewide teacher's contract when the state of Vermont is not the employer of the teachers?
I mean, if you believe that, like Mr. Gill does, that it's absolutely an assault on collective bargaining to have the state of Vermont bargain for a statewide teacher's benefit, then you're probably not going to like this plan. But the statewide teacher's retirement plan is a statewide plan. How do we have that? It's the same tenet. And I think the caller is absolutely right. There are lots of things that we could do with savings. One of them could be fully funding the teacher's retirement plan. Like you said, that's a huge obligation that we have. There are many things that we could do with the money, but we already provide the statewide teachers' retirement at the statewide level, and I'm not sure how things work in Burlington, but I have a very rural constituency, and I have schools and I have school districts that don't have big grand lists. So to know that a statewide teacher's health care benefit could provide equity for those smaller, poorer schools to be able to compete with the schools in Chittenden County as a chip at the table when they're attracting teachers is a huge benefit. It's something that I think would go a long way to keep good teachers in rural Vermont and keep those rural schools up to par and not losing the best and brightest talent they have. But I think I have no problem with a statewide teacher's benefit. I think there are folks who are very pro-union, who are very pro-collective bargaining, that they're never going to be able to accept it. And I think that's a fair juxtaposition and difference of opinion. But we provide a retirement benefit for teachers at the statewide level. I don't see why we couldn't provide that same equity in health care and provide a health care benefit.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. Today in the program, we're looking at the governor's plan to implement a statewide health care contract for all teachers. Our panel includes Senate Minority Leader Dustin DeGree, the chairman of the Democratic Party, Fasil Gill, and joining us now is the new interim chairman of Vermont's Progressive Party, Washington County Senator Anthony Polina. Senator Polina, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it, Bob.
So, Senator Polina, the governor says we can save $26 million a year with his plan. You don't support this approach. Why not?
Well, there's two things that I would mention. One is, and as you talked about, it's gotten pretty political, but I think we should put the politics aside and realize that we're talking about the law. Teachers have the right to collective bargaining with their employer. The governor is not their employer. So this change would be a big deal. It would be a big change. And one of the things that's bothering me now is the fact that right now it's being discussed, the options and the proposals are being discussed behind closed doors, essentially in secret. There's a few legislators, a couple of members of the governor's staff who are talking. There's no public testimony, no committee hearings, no witnesses being called, no serious public discussion of the pros and cons so that Vermonters could actually make a decision as to what they feel about this issue. Essentially, no transparency, no democracy. It's a bad process, and it's really bad for all of us, and we're all gonna lose if this goes through. Relative to collective bargaining, too, I just want to mention that some of the people who have the most to lose in this gamble are the many women who work in our schools as staff and teachers who have relied on collective bargaining to both raise their incomes and protect their benefits over the years. And collective bargaining has been a tool that has not just protected workers' rights, but has helped rise a lot of people out of poverty. And there's a lot of women who work in Vermont schools that I think we have to realize are going to be amongst the losers if we end up undermining collective bargaining, which is what this proposal could do.
Senator Polina, you had a bill that would basically have everybody pay their school taxes based on their income, not the value of their property, basically expanding income sensitivity for everybody. Do you think that bill got a fair hearing in the Senate?
No, unfortunately, I'm pretty disappointed. It did not get much of a hearing at all. I'm disappointed that the legislative leadership did not early on put on the table the proposal that I introduced with Senator Pearson, which would take the pressure off of middle and moderate income Vermonters when it comes to funding schools. Now, let's keep in mind that that's part of what we're talking about here, of course, is the idea that we want to lower the pressure on taxpayers. But the folks who pay the highest percentage of their income to fund schools are middle-income people and moderate or lower-income people. They're paying a higher percentage of their income to fund schools than wealthier folks are. So we should find a way to make the system more fair, move more towards real income to fund education. And I did introduce a bill along with Senator Pearson this year to do just that. The wealthier would pay based on their income or their property value, whichever is greater. And this would raise significant new revenue, about $80 million for schools that we can invest in schools or use to lower property tax rates. So the thing is, you know, the governor says, I'm going to save $26 million, and other folks say, well, you're going to undermine collective bargaining. I have to admit that in the eyes of the public, saving $26 million is probably more appealing than an argument in support of collective bargaining, although collective bargaining is extremely important to those of us who understand why so. But what we should have done, what the legislative leadership should have done early in the session, after going through a campaign and an election where people were talking about property taxes and funding schools, should have put on the table our proposal, which would have actually raised significantly more revenue than what we're talking about here, and we could have used to lower property taxes for the great majority of Vermonters. So what I would like to see us talk about is a fundamental change to the way we fund schools, so that we can change this conversation away from taking our frustrations out on teachers or on local schools, all these things that we try to do that nibble around the fact that what we really should be doing is making the way we fund schools more fair.
Mr. Gill, what do you think about Senator Pelini's approach? Democrats, the leaders at the State House, didn't give it much consideration this year. Should they have?
Look, anything, any idea, any plan that lowers property taxes, doesn't erode collective bargaining, helps working Vermonters, is a good idea and is an idea that needs to be fully discussed and vetted. You know, Chris Pearson raised this idea and Senator Pelini introduced it. I think it is a good idea. I think it deserves to be heard. Absolutely. Just like I thought, the governor, when he came out, it was an idea that deserves to be heard. Any idea that basically, again, provides property tax relief, changes the way that, schools are funded without doing it on the backs of, working Vermonters like teachers and paraeducators and others, I think is a good idea that needs to be vetted. But it needs to be vetted fully, not at the last minute.
So let's turn to Bob, who's calling from Barton. Hey, Bob, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. My point is that unions have been in decline for years, and this is largely because of the efforts of Republicans to destroy them. And the wealth and power, in the meantime, have flowed to the top for a very few people. I think there's a relationship between the two. And so anything that destroys the power of unions or collective bargaining should be nixed at the onset. I think that's critical. Thank you.
Bob, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Well, do you think this is happening in Vermont?
I think it's happening all over the country. Wealth, it's clear, wealth and power are naturally flowing to the top. And I think that needs to be reversed, and we need to encourage unions. I think the teachers showed a lot of courage and determination when they organized. Before they organized, the way salaries were determined is that a teacher would walk up in front of a school board member or the committee, and they would be told, this is what you're going to be making next year. So I think through hard work and perseverance, they have created a union, and I don't think we can turn right around and destroy this power.
Okay, Bob, thanks very much for your phone call. I'd like to just shift the focus for a moment and ask all three of you, the governor says he's optimistic that a compromise is going to be reached on this issue. I heard him say it several times this week. Senator DeGree, do you share his optimism?
I think from what I've heard from both the pro tem's office and the governor's office in the last 24 hours, they're at the table. They're having the conversations. They're having, in good faith, they're having negotiations about how to move forward and trying to find that path. I have, at least on our side of the building, I have, full faith in Senator Ash to come to the table in good faith, and I have all the faith in the world in Governor Scott to do the same. So I'm hopeful. I wouldn't say I'm confident, but I'm hopeful that we're able to come to a compromise and have something. I do agree with Anthony, though. I think it's a little odd that, we weren't able to vet this idea or Anthony's idea, during the legislative session. And quite honestly, there's a proposal that Senator Rogers from Essex Orleans and I have that would also kind of shift the way we fund schools that didn't get a whole lot of vetting. So there are ideas out there that haven't had the opportunity to be heard and to see that this is now happening in, behind closed doors without, light being the antiseptic of that the light helping see what's happening there. I think that's a little disconcerting. I also think it's disconcerting that what was, we heard that there were four or five back and forths between the Speaker and the pro tem and the governor, and a lot of those back and forths weren't shared. I would have liked to have seen if there are any ideas in those back and forths that might have been able to get votes and have ideas looked at. So I'm confident. I'm optimistic. I don't know that I'm confident.
Okay. Mr. Giller, how much confidence do you have that there's going to be a settlement here?
Well, I would have more confidence if the governor was actually at the table. I mean, the news reports have come out that the governor is not at the table. I mean, again, we see him last night, racing at Thunder Road. So I would have a lot more confidence if the governor is at the table, showing leadership. Our Democratic leadership has been very, very clear from the very beginning. They are not going to cave. They are going to hold the line. They don't want to see the government shut down. They don't think the governor should hold the budget hostage. The budget was passed completely with just one vote against it, including unanimously in the Senate, and that is the budget that should be in place. I'm also hopeful that the governor will see that he should not be holding the budget hostage for this reason, and there will be a compromise. But I know that the Democratic leadership has been very clear that they are they are not going to erode the rights of working Vermonters.
Senator Plena, do you see the framework for a compromise?
I would say that I'm cautiously optimistic, and I say that because I really think Vermonters deserve a legislature and an administration that know how to get along and know how to do the right thing for Vermonters. And I think it would be shameful if the governor's proposal, which did come late in the game, et cetera, I don't want to rehash all that, but was responsible for shutting down state government. I think the Vermonters deserve better. And I do think that we have a strong tradition of coming to solutions together. And I think that we should be able to do it in this case. And I would just remind folks that after the veto threat became so clear, the Senate actually passed another proposal which would have provided the same savings that the governor was looking for, but would have preserved collective bargaining at the local level. So there are ways to go about it. I'm not saying that was a perfect proposal, but it's an indication that people are willing to look at various options. But I think that I'm cautiously optimistic because I think we have to do better than what's happening now.
I mean, Senator Plena, do you see any issues that would be the focus of that settlement? We don't hear any details at this point from anybody.
I know, and I mentioned that earlier in my comments. The fact that this is going on behind closed doors is not very helpful to the situation. I don't think anybody thought that Governor Scott was going to be the kind of governor that would do things behind closed doors, quite honestly. So I think, though, the bottom line is that there are people like myself who will continue to oppose efforts to undermine collective bargaining. It's the law. It's not just tradition, but it's the right under the law. And to change that around with some deal that comes behind closed doors is simply not acceptable. That's bad government and bad for democracy. And I think a lot of folks would simply continue to oppose that. So I think the governor's going to have to find a way to compromise while preserving the role of the right the right of teachers to collectively bargain with their real employers, not the governor.
All right. That's all the time we have today. It's going to be fascinating to see what the outline of a possible settlement might be. We should know that in the next few days. Many thanks to our panel today, Senate Minority Leader Dustin DeGree, Democratic Party Chairman Fasil Gill, and the interim chairman of the Progressive Party, Anthony Plena. Thank you all for being on the program today.
Thanks a lot, Bob. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Bob.
Thanks, Bob.